If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 today. And as you're doing that, I'll go ahead and introduce myself a little bit. Yes, you just heard my family was in the evangelistic field before I was born. So my name is Brian Beatty. I was born in a town of Searcy, Arkansas. So my dad and sister and a lot of people in my family are pastors. My dad actually still pastors at the church that I grew up in there in Searcy. But you may know me through Marcy or the Greens. Or maybe you were here a little over 5 years ago when Marcy and I said our I do's not too far behind me. Marcy and I, we met at SNU. There we received our bachelor's and our master's degrees. And over the past few years, I've been a youth pastor at a church called Metroplex Church of the Nazarene. We really enjoyed our time there, but we are happy to move back up here in Topeka. Did that back in March. But one of the highlights that we had there in the youth ministry at Metroplex was when we went to, or took some of our teens to NYC. Now, for those of you that don't know, NYC is not for New York City. It is for Nazarene Youth Conference. Nazarene Youth Conference is a large conference that brings Nazarene teens from all around North America. So not just the U.S., but they also have some individuals from Canada that come in. It's normally brought to a selected city to serve in different ways and make a collective positive impact on that city. So a couple years ago, actually 2 years ago today, is when we went to Phoenix, Arizona. And yes, it was hot there then as well. But also 10 years ago is when I went to NYC when I was a teen. And we went to Kentucky at the time. So it usually lasts about 4 to 5 days, and the Oklahoma district, which is the district that we were on, took 6 charter buses, which amounted to about 300 kids and adults that went. It was a great time of worship where God was moving to change the lives of the people around us. So read with me today, Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So, the mustard seed and the yeast are things that grow into something much greater. When I think of my beginnings, I think of several individuals who influenced my life in some way. First, you had my Sunday school teacher, Annette, who taught me all the basics that I need when I was young. Then, I think of Miss Edna, who babysat my sister and I and loved on us when we were really young. Or I think of Miss Marilyn, who watched over me at daycare. Actually, I can still remember a little bit of the felt stories that she told Bible stories from when I was a kid. And then, of course, there are my parents who shared Christ with me and how he could change my life when I was young. I think all of us have someone like that in our lives that we can think of in our beginnings. These two parables share a story of a beginning and an end. The beginning to show what we can hope for in the end. The mustard seed and the leavened bread are parables of great contrast. It ends with something that's much bigger than it started with. I mean, a mustard seed, it averages around 1 to 2 millimeters in size. And in Galilee, conditions were good enough for the tree to grow around 9 to 10 feet. That's 3,000 times the size of the seed in the beginning. But this parable makes sense to those that were in Galilee. I mean, it was a dry area, yes, but there were still towering trees that were a little less common like this. So for us to relate it to what we are familiar with, it would be kind of like a sequoia seed, right? In the beginning, it's 4 to 5 millimeters starting with. And then over a long, long, long period of time, it becomes gigantic. Some that can even become as big as over 300 feet tall. That's 23,000 times the size of the beginning seed. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus speaks of is meant to represent something like this. It's a movement of God that starts with a small seed. You can think about it starting with the ministry of Jesus there in the Gospels, or if you want to go back a bit further, you can talk about the story of Abraham. God comes to Abraham and he promises to make him a great nation, as numerous as the stars. But it started with two people, Abraham and Sarah. I think our ministries that we are part of may seem small. It could be canvassing the neighborhood, or even a whole church can seem small when thinking about how big of a ministry or how big of a mission it is that we face. We have to remember that it isn't just us doing the work. Now, earlier I talked about NYC. We were able to take 4 kids to NYC there at Metroplex. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but we became 4 of about 9,000 people there in Phoenix at the time. All the churches were asked to bring backpacks and school supplies and other items, and each district got 1 day to fill those backpacks for the poor communities there in Phoenix. It was a giant warehouse. Notebooks were everywhere. It was really a huge system that they had to do. Also, each district was given an opportunity to do a service project there in the area. That's normally what they do at NYC. For the Oklahoma district, the 300 plus of us, we went to a place called Feed My Starving Children. Now, Feed My Starving Children, it uses volunteers to help pack things called manna packs to fight starvation. So for those of you that don't know what manna packs are, they're dried food, maybe similar to that of kind of like a military pack. You just need to add water or heat to cook it. We each had a job packing bags or packing boxes. I had the fun job of sealing the packages as they came along. And being a pastor, that meant that I was able to let the easy jobs go to the kids. So together, the 300 plus of us, we packed 663 boxes. It may not seem like much, but that was actually 143,000 meals that we made in that, I think it was about an hour to 2 hour time period. When it comes to the kingdom work that we do, we have to remember that it has to start somewhere. I mean, think about Fairlawn. What was it like for those that started this church a long time ago? Could they imagine all of us sitting here today, or the impact that this church has had over the years? There's a bigger picture. You may not be able to see the seed grow, but we know it is growing. We already know the end. The Old and New Testament point towards an end where God triumphs over all of creation and worldly empires. Even the parable of the mustard seed parallels with some of the passages of the Old Testament. In Ezekiel 17, it says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shades of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. What about Daniel 7? It says, but the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will become an everlasting kingdom, and all the rulers will worship and obey him. You can even look in the New Testament. Revelations 21 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Time after time, we're told the end. It doesn't matter where you look. The end is still that God will be victorious. There is no alternate ending. But sometimes it's hard to fathom what this looks like when we look at what we're given or what we're up against. So on the second day of the NYC trip, we made a pit stop to the Grand Canyon. Now, I don't know how you feel, but until you've gone there, you just don't know what it really looks like. Sure, there are pictures or there are videos out there of stunts, people that are tightroping across it. And to quote what Marcy would say, she'd say, nope. There's nothing like seeing it in person, though. I mean, I've always wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. I'm so excited. We get there, and there was a solid line of trees between the opening and the parking lot. That was frustrating. I remember walking through the thick tree line full of anticipation. I just wanted to see what everyone was talking about. There's sometimes that we go on road trips with Dana, and when he has something that's cool, he says it's stinking awesome. So as we walked through the trees and the stacks of people, it really was stinking awesome. I was completely awestruck. It was huge. It looked like you just could reach out and touch a painting. Right? It doesn't look real when you're standing there in front of it. And it doesn't sink in for quite a while. I think the end of the story is meant to be like this. We know the end. We know about Jesus' ministry told throughout the Bible. We know the power of Christ as we talk to each other and hear others' testimonies. We know that Jesus is coming back one day and that there will be no more death or no more crying or no more pain. Yet here we stand, stuck in the trees between the parking lot and the Grand Canyon. We're stuck between a millimeter seed and a tree. Or stuck between a yeast becoming a giant loaf of bread. Yet even in the midst of trees, we still have hope and excitement for when we finally get to move out into the opening. But I can still understand the frustration that comes when seeing the trees and knowing the bread will rise, but not being able to be there yet. But the kingdom of heaven is here. Right? In the Gospels, Jesus talks about this over and over. And in Luke 17, he says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. There are passages about the end of time, yes, but Jesus says it is here now in this place. The mustard seed doesn't really become a seed, or the mustard seed doesn't turn into a tree just overnight, and the yeast doesn't poof into a loaf of bread real quick. It takes a process, and we're in it right now. I think God is working and moving all around us. There are people being healed from sickness. Addictions are being broken. Lives are being changed. God is still moving. And he invites us to join in the kingdom work. We're fortunate and don't have to wait to see it happen. We are in the midst of what is happening. I think one of my favorite ways to see this was in worship. At NYC, the services were awesome. I mean, think about it, 9,000 people collectively worshiping together. The fun part, though, is that 30 to 45 minutes before services started, you had all these districts trickling in. And what do you think happens when you get a bunch of teenagers and youth pastors who are bored before service? Here come the competitions. Roller coaster, wave, slow claps, doesn't matter. People brought state flags and had it to wave around. Or our district, the Oklahoma district, sang the Oklahoma song loud and proud. But when service started, things changed. It was no longer about the different districts. We're worshiping together. I can't describe with words how incredible an experience like this is. We're given an opportunity to work alongside Jesus as we worship together, not only with our voices, but also with our actions as we allow God's kingdom to be seen and to change others around us. Yet how often do we get caught up in the competition, though? I mean, people within a church trying to prove their point over someone else. Churches even on the same district not getting along. Or, to take it a bit further out, what about denominations clashing? Right? Nazarene, Baptist, Church of Christ, doesn't matter. Sometimes the beliefs that come with that become bigger than being a Christian. Let me tell you one thing, though. Our 300 singing Oklahoma loud and proud didn't even make a dent in the sound of 9,000 people singing. The process and movement of Christianity is much bigger than you and I, you or I. The mustard tree at the end of the story is much larger than just Fairlawn here. 9,000 people hopefully made an impact in Phoenix when we set aside our differences and kept the main thing in front of us. It wasn't my work. It's not your work. It's the kingdom work. What do you think could happen even here in Topeka? When we align ourselves with Christ, actively setting our differences aside to worship God in our words and in our actions. Now, in the beginning, I shared with you just a handful of the people that made an impact on my life. Whether it was Miss Annette or Miss Edna, Miss Marilyn, or my parents, I recognize that I probably would not be standing up here today if it wasn't for them. I'd like to think that they are all examples that I can share with you of people living and working in the kingdom of God as they taught and raised me in a supportive environment. You could probably say the same thing about someone who influenced you to be here today. When we align ourselves with Christ, we're challenged to join with these people who have brought us to where we are, or even who have passed to continue the work of making disciples. My challenge to you is to be one of those people. We do look forward to greater blessings when Christ comes again, but in the meantime, we're offered an opportunity to be part of the blessings of the kingdom now. Grow the kingdom. It all starts with planting a mustard seed. If you will, stand with me today. How fortunate for us that we can be one of those people in many, many different ways. There isn't just one way to show Christ, to love someone with Christ. Opportunities come by us at a moment's notice, and living in the Spirit helps us to recognize these chances. God doesn't pick out the perfect people to be one of those people. God picks all of you. There are no skills required. There are no right words to say. God doesn't ask for much. He just asks for you to be willing. Marcy's going to come up and sing a song for us today, but I invite you to come. If you're willing to be available to be one of those people, the altars are always open. Ask God to help you recognize those opportunities, teach you how to share Christ through your words and actions, give you the courage to speak up or act. When the Lord calls, He equips. And if you're willing to plant a seed, He will help do the growing.
Pray these words for me.
Lifted high, it's my kingdom's fall.
Pray with me today. God, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you're going to do. God, I pray that you will help us as we continue to do the kingdom work of yours. God, I pray that you will strengthen us to be part of your kingdom. I pray that you will help us to lay everything down so that your kingdom can grow. Pray for everyone here as they leave this day. Pray that you will continue to bless them. I pray that you will give them peace and strength throughout this next week, and that we all can come back safely next week. We thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are going to do over this next week, and we pray that you will help us to reach out to this city around us. In your name I pray. Amen. Receive this benediction out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 today. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Go in his presence today.